This is the Steve Cochran Show.
You got to figure out why I'm still shaking the ball.
You know.
Now what's the problem? I'm catching on the hosel, right?
Yeah, right.
Moving my head.
Yeah.
I'm laying it off.
Love that too.
I'm pronating.
When you're not supinating.
I'm clearing too early. I'm clearing too late. My God, my swing feels like an unfolding lawn chair. I look like a fool.
But enough about me. 9:10, almost 9:11. Sandberg's here. I've asked Sandberg to join us because part of her gig here, Dave, is to listen to me whine about my golf swing.
I think that's part of all of our gigs.
So it's your pain as well?
I don't mind it because I'll whine back.
And in working and doing some stuff with the First Tee, you got to know Pat Goss a little bit, right?
I did. I went to a thing called Golf Talk with Pat Goss at the Glen Club about a month ago. Through the First Tee, he did a chipping, pitching, and putting clinic with us on Wildcat Range.
This is the Glen Club, beautiful Glen Club with my friend Emil Esposito, pro emeritus out there. And I'm pretty sure I'm right about this. I think Luke Donald funded that range, or if not all of it, the majority of it, because the end of it is a teaching range, and there's a section that's specific to Northwestern golf.
Correct, and they have little Northwestern flags, and it's really cute.
It's the Wildcat Golf Academy.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
And Pat Goss has forgotten more about golf than I'll ever know, and I've developed a case. I used to be a pretty good chipper.
Let me just tell you, he helped immensely in this. It was just like 10 of us standing there, and he told us a few things. Things like, don't worry about if your head moves. Like,
really?
Things that you
Does he know how big my head is?
Just like I've little things. And I've been chipping and pitching and putting so well, and every time we play, my Pat says, wow, Pat Goss really had an impact on you. Because I'm doing so well.
Well, let's get him in here. Pat Goss from Northwestern University. I've got the yips, Pat. Fix me.
Oh, Steve, that's bad. But I'm glad to hear I helped Mary a little bit because I really appreciated your tin cup intro there. I'm so worried most of my lessons sound like that one, but somehow Mary found the nuggets in there.
Here's the problem, Pat. I've always been a pretty good chipper, and I'm an okay putter. I'm streaky like most people. But for whatever reason, recently, I got the chip yips. And when you yip a few, your confidence goes out the window.
Yeah, it does. And I've actually done a lot of research on the yips and have helped some players get through them, Steve, so you're talking to the right guy. We can do this.
All right, so this is limited to what you can do to cure me, but the first step to a cure is admitting you have a problem. So over the phone, I've heard every tip ever given to mankind. You know, keep the handle ahead of the hands, don't break the wrist, don't move the head, all the things we know. Give me something I can focus on. Give me one thing.
Well, first I'm going to tell you that all that stuff you just muttered to me, that was all wrong.
That's what he told me.
We got to start there, Steve. Yeah.
Good. I wanted to wash my brain of all of this.
Especially the handle ahead of the head so much in short game. That's one of the really big misnomers that everybody was told, including me as a kid, and it's not what we see the best pitchers and chippers do. So you got to get the head of the club moving. You can't drag the handle so far forward if you want to make good contact. But I'll tell you this about the yips, especially, and we're talking chipping, not putting, right?
Chipping, exactly, yeah.
So everybody I've ever taught that had the chipping yips, they swung the club too far back inside with the head too closed, turned down towards the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get the club going up and out more with more loft, toe more up. Then are you right-handed, I assume?
Yes,
Steve?
I am. Mm-hmm.
You got to swing more down and left on the way through.
It's so almost a slice cut?
It's going to feel like a slice. What people always forget, in golf, we don't swing linearly towards the target. We don't swing in a straight line towards the target except in putting and driving. Every other shot is swung downward and inside feeling like a slice.
So then,
just hit it straight.
So slice cut and let it lag. Let the club lag. Don't worry about
locking
it in.
No, don't let it lag. I want it going the other way. I don't want the head falling behind. I want the head going forwards.
But how am I going to control loft that way for a chip?
Well, you're going to use less loft.
All right.
You want it to run. Use your 9-iron. Use your pitching wedge. I'll give you the last tip for anybody who has the yips, and this goes for putting and chipping both. Generally, most people, you have a good chance of getting rid of the yips if you change the way you hold it. It totally changes the feedback you're getting from a neurological standpoint. So I would tell you, if you have the chip yips, stand the handle up higher, hold it more in the palms just to chip and pitch. get the club going more outside and more down and left on the way through, and you'll have a chance.
You like a putter grip on it, or use your regular grip? Because yeah, I go reverse overlap on a putter grip.
Put it way in the palms. Even if you want to use a putter grip, if you're going to pitch it a little further, you can't quite do the putter grip. But Luke Donald, he changes his grip in short game. He'll hold it more in the palms. He'll really weaken his top hand. You know, so for a right-handed player, he's taking his left hand and turning it more under the grip for short game. The more it's in your palms and the handle's higher, you'll have a chance.
And you're a big advocate of moving around to different clubs depending on your situation, because I was always a wedge or even a 60, you know, one club, two club, gap wedge maybe of the third club guy, and never going farther down in the bag.
Yeah, we're seeing, you know, most really good players do a majority of their pitching, so when they want it to go in the air, they're going to do that with their 56 or 60, one of their most lofted clubs. But when you're talking about getting the ball on the ground and getting it running, I really want you to use less loft so that you don't have to drag the handle and de-loft the club so much to do it.
All right, so this is already giving me something to work on here. Yeah.
Take that the club. Screw you up for no less than 4 to 6 weeks.
I got a big tournament this weekend. I'm going to try to remember it before I forget it. But bring the club back straight, if not even a little bit outside the line.
Out and up.
Out and up. And then come back to the left, because I'm right-handed.
Yeah.
So it's going to feel a little bit like a slice. Don't worry about locking your hands in. Don't worry about chicken winging it.
Nope.
And let the club do the work when it comes to the loft.
Yep. Let the head of the club do the work. You'll be right back on track.
I'll be on tour by the weekend. Dave.
Well, yes. May I ask a question?
Haven't you taken lessons from Pat?
Yeah, it's been a while. Okay. It's been a while.
Right.
But, okay, so sand, I've always been told you want to hit the sand behind the ball, correct? And actually strike the sand to propel the ball out of the trap, right?
That's correct. Okay. My good fellow Wildcat, Dave Ennett, is right on his game right
sand
now.
Sand moves the ball,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, but, Pat, what if you're playing, the sand is wet and packed hard. What do you do?
What you're saying is, when do you chip the ball cleanly out of the bunker?
Yes.
Is there an occasion when you do that?
Yeah.
Rarely. Now, I tell you, I've had people putt it from bunkers sometimes, depending on the design. I've been some places where it was pretty easy to putt it out. One thing, you know, we've really learned in studying amateur golf from a statistical standpoint, bunkers are a real hazard for the amateur player. And it's frustrating for the amateur player, because you watch those guys on TV and the commentator says, oh, he wants it in the bunker. That's so much easier for him, and it's not for the average player. But first, a general bunker tip, Dave, is I don't care how far you hit behind the ball. I care how far your divot gets in front of the ball. Every person, 100%, nobody's broke this streak for 25 years. Everybody that struggles from the bunker takes a divot that's too far behind the ball. You got to get your divot as much in front of the ball as it was behind the ball.
So that's hit the sand and keep swinging.
Yeah, it's not only keep swinging, you got to be swinging the club in a direction that divot's getting forward. Everybody's so concerned about hitting their 2 or 3 inches behind the sand, keeping their head down, they're bottoming it out 8-10 inches. I need you really getting the swing going way more forward towards your front foot. Take practice swings where you overdo it. Take divots that are in front of your front foot. And then take that same feel with you and go hit the shot, and you'll be better off. But as far as the hard-packed sand, one, you don't want to open the club because you don't want it bouncing. So you want to square the club up a little bit so it digs a little bit more in those hard-packed sands. You're going to take shorter swings with not as much speed.
And I always felt like whenever I got in a good groove in the sand, it was because I could see the splash. And by that, I mean you'd hear the thud.
Mm-hmm.
Love that thud in the bunker. And you'd visualize the splash of the sand as it comes out of the bunker, and that line gave me the line on where I wanted the ball to go, and that's the line I'd swing the club. That's when I felt like I was locked in.
Yeah, and I think that's smart stuff. You got to remember, we're trying to set up to expose all this cool bounce they put on the club that allows it to not dig in the sand. It'll allow it to skim through it. But you're trying to thud aggressively downward, and this bounce keeps the club moving. If your club is getting stuck in the sand, you're not set up in a way to expose the bounce, and you got to start laying the handle more behind the ball, and you got to really pancake the club flat to expose the bounce. Then you can thud aggressively into the sand, and it won't stick.
The bounce, by the way, is the width on the bottom of the club that kind of shovels the sand for you, moves it along. You know, Pat, you're pretty good at this. I guess it's not your first day.
No, I've thought a lot about this stuff. This is the stuff I lay awake at night and dream about right here.
Tell us what's going on with the first tee.
First tee's fun. I became president of the board of the first tee this past year. I've been on the board since probably 07, and I grew up in Crystal Lake, Illinois, and somebody was exposed to golf through municipal golf. And so anything that gives us the opportunity to expose kids to the values of the game, to learn the game, to grow the game, I'm all in, because I've seen the value and the impact the game's had on me personally and other people. So I love the First Tee. Obviously, it's a great organization. Most people are familiar with it through its national branding. You know, but we're teaching life skills in a direct parallel line with golf skills. You know, for a kid to progress through this program, they're going to have to pass life skills tests at the same time that they pass golf skills tests, and they keep moving forward. And we have an exciting time of growth, and we're reaching nearly 40,000 children throughout the Chicagoland area. We have 17 golf courses. We're in elementary schools. We're with partnerships with the Park District, Boys and Girls Clubs, all kinds of youth development organizations, and we're growing and having a great time. Very fortunate to have Luke Donald's support, which really helps us as well.
Yeah, and at a time where the game really does need help growing with Tiger out of the game, at least for the year, I think the First Tee's never been more important for the stamp it puts on the game. But the biggest thing, as you said, and the most important part, is giving access to the game that kids might not otherwise have.
No, absolutely. And we're trying so hard to continue improving and build facilities for youth development. You know, as you know, there's a lot of things in our city going on with the kids, and there's a critical need right now to provide these safe havens for youth in Chicago where they can go have a safe place, get exposed to people that really care about them. And if we can teach them a game along the way that helps them learn some values, that's a good thing.
You know, Dave curses a lot on the course. You got anything for that?
I don't believe that. I know Dave Bennett well, and I have never heard him curse.
Maybe it was me.
Wildcat.
Maybe it was me.
It might have been Steve.
It probably was me. Pat, congrats on all the success. Thanks. You gave me something to work on today. I don't care if it's going to be 120 degrees. I'm going to be out there having Pat Goss fix me, and I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, and as always, go Cats.
And support the First Tee, 922.
I got to come see him.
Coming up, Andrea Darlis and Mayor Rudy Giuliani, live from Cleveland. She talked to Giuliani just a few minutes ago. We'll give you a clip of that coming up. Big story, and then Bill and Wendy at 10 on 720 WGN.